From Broadway to the West End, from the QPAC to the Capitol to Her Majesty's Theatre, this is the Dressing Room Podcast.
Welcome to the very first episode of the Dressing Room Podcast for 2018. My name is Tom Whittaker. You might have heard me on the radio all around Australia, 66 stations, but I love doing that. I love a musical, though. I love a musical. The thing is, I can't sing, I can't dance, I can't act, but I can talk. So that's why we've got this musical theatre podcast. And around Australia at the moment, we have got, like, the creme de la creme, the biggest, best musicals all around the world. Aladdin just closed in Melbourne's going to Brisbane. Mamma Mia's just opening in Sydney. Muriel's Wedding just closed. That was incredible. It's coming back for 2019. Wizard of Oz just closed in Sydney. It's going to Adelaide. Priscilla just opened in Melbourne. I went to the premiere night, opening night. It is insane. You have got to go and see it. It is so great. Rocky Horror's in Brisbane. Beautiful just closed in Sydney. It's going to Melbourne. It's all happening. So much incredible shows at the moment. And they're just the big ones. You got smaller ones everywhere as well at the moment. Go and see a show tonight, though, right now, today, whatever you're listening. I'm used to saying tonight for the radio. But right now, wherever you're listening, thanks so much for downloading the podcast. Today on the show is the incredible Gemma Ricks. You would know her. You know, if you saw her in the street, probably wouldn't think twice because she's usually green, which is why I'm so obsessed with her. She's currently in The Wizard of Oz, which just closed in Sydney and is on the way to Adelaide and then go to Melbourne as well. Get your tickets and welcome, Gemma Ricks, to the podcast.
Well, this is a iconic moment for the Dressing Room Podcast because, weirdly enough, we have never had a girl on the podcast. I don't know why. It's been a complete accident. It's just the way it's happened. But please welcome to the Dressing Room Podcast right now, Helpman Award nominee Gemma Ricks.
Hello, very female Gemma Ricks.
Yes, very, I can confirm. I don't know why we've never, it's always just been like we've had Todd McKenney, Rob Mills, Josh Pitterman, Toby Francis.
Yeah.
Just so many guys.
Yeah, wow. Well, can I just say that I'm very honoured?
You're welcome. And I say Helpman Award nominee because, like, I don't know if you are across the news, but today is a Wednesday and Margot Robbie just got nominated for an Oscar.
Of course she did because she's absolutely amazing.
I know.
Yes, that's like, awesome.
Can you believe Margot Robbie?
Yeah, from Neighbours.
Neighbours, 5 minutes ago. It's insane. And I was once nominated for a radio award. They're called ACRAs.
Oh.
So my email signature I have down the bottom because, you know, people are like, Academy Award nominated. So I'm like, ACRA Award nominated.
Absolutely.
Helpman Award nominated.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You should put that in front of your dressing room. at the moment, you are in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Playing the Wicked Witch of the West. I haven't seen the show yet.
Ooh.
Every time I've done a podcast, I've been able to see the show before, but I do a live radio show at night and the premiere that was in Sydney a couple of weeks ago, we were on air, so I couldn't come. I was devastated.
Oh, you're going to have to. So the reason why I actually was interested in it is because, look, my number one love is singing, right?
Right.
That is my number one connection. I love playing characters, but still singing for me is the number one passion. Mm-hmm. And when they asked me about it, I was like, oh, you know, the witch doesn't sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that. and then John Frost said, you know, well, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice have actually written music for those moments, for Glinda as well and for Professor Marvel, who don't normally have songs. And the Wicked Witch opens Act Two with an awesome song called Red Shoes Blues. And so I was like, all right. So I did some research.
Yeah.
And I, the person who originated it in London was Hannah Waddingham.
Mm-hmm.
And she's phenomenal, like plays such an amazing villain. And that's what got me excited was the fact that, you know, obviously I love The Wizard of Oz. You know, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought for me professionally and just also just, you know, growing as an artist, I was like, well, I need to have some moment of singing so that's really what I signed the dotted line then. So
because I feel like you've had a pretty incredible career. I mean, you're in the original Wicked cast in Melbourne 8 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 2008 when we started. Yeah.
Oh, so 10.
Yeah.
Far out. It's 2018. I keep forgetting. Oh, my God. You know when you do that thing, you're at 2017 for the first 3 months?
I know.
Do you do that?
Yes.
To Alphabet understudy, and then you got Alphabet.
Yeah.
Then you did the Sydney tour, then Korea, then New Zealand, then the Philippines, then the Australian anniversary tour.
Yeah.
And you've been in Ghosts the Musical. How did it all start for you? Because I know you're from the Central Coast of New South Wales.
Yeah.
I used to live there for like 6 months. And I always wanted to see a production from the Gosford Musical Society. Yes,
yeah, which I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was praying you would say that. Tell us everything.
Of course I did. So I've got a very different background to most theatre performers because most people, they know what they want to do and they've got that burning desire. So they go and study. They go to WAPA or any. There's so many different institutes that you can go to and learn the craft and get a qualification.
Yep.
I did not do that. And the main reason for that was because I was always a singer, but I never thought that. No, I didn't think that I wasn't any good, but it was more the fact that I just didn't think that that was my, would ever be my life. Like that was even an opportunity because the Central Coast is a small kind of town, beach town. And I don't know, I just, it was too big a dream to have, if that makes sense.
Totally, yeah.
And so I hated school and I just wanted to get out of school. And so my parents said, well, if you want to leave school after year 10, which is very unheard of, it was more so back then, but and they said, you need to do something. Like you need to have some sort of, exactly. Yeah. So I went and did a beauty therapy apprenticeship because my auntie actually was a beauty therapist and she's an awesome chick. And so I was like, well, I want to do that. And so I did that. And so what I would do is I would work in, it was actually a pharmacy and they had beauty rooms in the back. And so, so I did that. And then I would actually after hours go and do my amateur theatre at Gosford Musical Society, Laycock Street Theatre, and do that on the side, which was perfect because, you know, obviously it's amateur, so they make it fit into a normal person's hourly job. So so that was, it worked for me. So I was able to do quite a few shows and fill that sort of void of performing that, you know, I had to fill with my normal job.
Normal job, yeah. What shows did you do there? Do you remember?
I did, yeah. So the first one I did was Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yes.
And then I did Cabaret. I was never a main role either, just so you know. I was always in the ensemble.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I did this really cool show. It was called Live at the Rogue and Trevor Whittaker, same surname as you. Yeah. He actually sort of wrote, it was kind of like a Rat Packy kind of thing. So it had all that kind of music in it with a different kind of storyline throughout it, which was my favorite. Yeah. So I did that. And then I'd also perform in a pop band. So I'd sing top 40 stuff.
Amazing.
But I'd commute to Sydney and do that. So I was very busy.
Like a weekend job
sort
of thing?
Yeah, it was over a Friday night or a Saturday night and I'd drive to Sydney or Newcastle and perform with a band singing covers.
Wow.
Yeah.
And now you're a big star in The Wizard of Oz.
So I'll quickly just say then, so it makes sense about how, is basically then I finished my apprenticeship and then I was like, well, I'm done. Like this could be my life forever. And I was like, well, let me just have a go and just see what happens. So my friend was studying dancing in Melbourne. She said, come and move to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And, you know, by this point, I was only like 20. And so I'd already finished my apprenticeship. So I was just like, oh, I may as well just give it a go. And then I can just come back, you know, like go back to the coast. Yeah, exactly.
YOLO. I'm 20. Let's move to Melbourne.
Exactly. And so, yeah. And then I worked in a cafe and then I auditioned for Universal Studios in Japan because they audition all around the world every year.
Yes.
And that was my first professional gig that I got where I didn't have to do another job on the side. So I moved to Japan, you know, I think it was 4 months after that.
Wow.
And so then I was there for a year. And then after that, I got an agent when I came back to Australia because I didn't even have one of those yet. And then I just started auditioning and then Wicked came along. And because I was doing a smaller version of Wicked in Japan, which sounds very weird.
I have a question about that How do you do that in 30 minutes?
Yeah, I know.
Yes, okay.
I know. So that helped me obviously get the standby role of Elphaba in 2008. And then ever since then, I've been very fortunate and I've only had some small amounts of downtime, which is what you need anyway. I've been very, very lucky with it's a surprising life. I still pinch myself like, how am I here?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, Wicked and Wizard of Oz, same but different.
Yes.
You play kind of the same. I mean, it's the same character, but again, like same but different.
Yeah.
But they're like Elphaba, is so different to the Wicked Witch of the West character.
Yes.
This is sort of more camp, you're a bit more evil. Uh-huh. How do you differentiate being the same character but different? Is that something where you like go all actory and inside yourself?
So I thought I was going to be able to connect the two.
Yeah.
But when we got into rehearsal, I was like, and the lines that I say, particularly in this show, The Wizard of Oz, she's crazy. Like she says, she really is. Like the thing with Elfie, she was so grounded and she was so truthful and everything was just so honest. Whereas this Wicked Witch, she's like mad.
Yeah.
And so I decided I'm disconnecting the two because they just can't, they can't live together harmoniously.
Yeah.
So I found a whole new character, which was fantastic because even though you're technically playing the same character, I've got another challenge, you know, in my career of something I've never done before, which is more of an over the top, as you said, camp. I use that word too because I feel like she's so camp. You wait when you see it, you'll laugh. She's so camp.
I mean, I've seen like bits of videos and stuff on Instagram and just even, I mean, like from the characters, but even like the giant rainbow and everything's so different to when you go, when you walk into the theater, if you're going to see Wicked and there's like all the scaffolding and everything's very dark.
Yeah, all the roots of the trees and it's very earthy. Whereas this is way color and crazy. So it's actually been a wonderful experience and another little notch on my belt to what I've been able to do as an actress.
So back to the Universal thing in Japan.
Yeah.
Firstly, how incredible is Japan? I went there last year.
Oh my God. It was the best. It was honestly, I still truly feel like it was one of the most amazing, best experiences of my life.
Did you do the travel? Because I imagine they are very like Disney and Universal. They're very by the rules, like you need this amount of time off.
Yes.
So do you get to travel a lot while you're there?
Yeah. Sometimes you did. Like I got to go because Universal Studios is in Osaka, whereas Disneyland is in Tokyo. So I went to Tokyo for a holiday and Kyoto and I did all those little bits and pieces that you can do, but you can't go obviously for long periods of time on massive trips. Yeah. But even just living in that culture and, you know, you're really in the middle of Japan and you just got to survive and figure it out for yourself. And that was what made it so cool and so awesome. Because a lot of the time when you're a tourist, you do touristy things. Whereas this was just living in Japan. Like it was just, it was so wonderful. And obviously the friends that you meet and they treat you really lovely. And they, back then they gave you a mobile phone. They probably don't do that anymore because everyone's got one. But that was before everybody sort of had one. Or you were looked after. You got a bike because you rode everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which is so cool. So yeah.
And in Japan, you wouldn't get abused on the street with someone in a car. They'd be like, oh, let you through. Everyone's so polite.
So polite. But it's also like that's how most of them sort of travel. Yeah. So all these pathways are huge. Yeah. So that's just sort of, you're part of the traffic.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the best experiences ever.
So how do they, because with a 30-minute version of Wicked, right?
Yes.
How does that happen? Because like Defying Gravity is already like a 9-minute song or something.
Yeah. So they took out a couple of characters.
Right.
So there's no Fiero. So there's no love interest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's no Madame Morrible either.
Yep.
So there's just the wizard. And it sort of started off with One Short Day. And so you're already at the Emerald City. But then the wizard comes on and then sort of talks to the audience and sort of says, this is a story about Glinda and Elphaba. And
is it in Japanese or is it English?
All Japanese.
Oh, God. Okay.
Including my lines.
Oh, so did you have to learn Japanese?
Indeed.
Amazing.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, and then it goes, he goes, tells the story that we're going back in time. And so it's basically all the stuff of how they meet in university and that she has her powers and that the wizard sees the powers and then she ends up finding out about the monkeys and not happy. And then so she runs away and says, this is not what I wanted. And then they then randomly sing For Good together because they're basically saying goodbye.
Okay.
And then the guards come in and then you finish with Defying Gravity and that's it.
Wow.
So there's sort of no act two.
Yeah.
And a couple of characters. So it does actually work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty, it was an intense 30 minutes, let me tell you.
That's so great. Do you still like melt and everything?
No. Oh, no. So
everyone's fine in the end.
Yeah. It just finishes with me going, wah! Yeah.
Blackout.
That's it.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Actually, speaking of melting, I don't know if you actually know this fact. So Idina Menzel, who played original.
Yeah, Elphaba, the original. Yeah.
The OG. I was reading this on Wikipedia. So in 2005, the night before her last night, there was a new person doing the trapdoor that she melts into, and it says there's three steps. The second step was down, and instead of opening the third step, something happened, and she fell down and was...
Broke her ribs.
Yeah, broke her ribs. Couldn't perform. Did one song, the finale, her last night, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Has anything like that as in either show,
yeah,
being the Wicked Witch of the West, anything witchy happened?
Nothing like that. Like, that's pretty full on.
That's full on.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
she's hanging by her arms and broke ribs.
Yeah, she totally broke ribs. And then so then what was meant to be her final night, because the whole audience knew that that was going to be her final show. Yeah. So everybody was there for her.
Yeah.
And so that poor understudy had to go on, like, you, yeah, know. And then right at the end, she came out in her red tracksuit and sang that last... Because I knew you, you know, and, yeah, then everyone went nuts.
Wow.
But can you imagine that being your final show?
I would have sued the new trapdoor person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't you be
ropeable? Maybe she did. It was America.
Yeah. Exactly.
But then she ended up doing it on West End. So she did get her final show.
Yeah.
Which is good. But in the way of me, I've fallen over heaps. And just, yeah, tripping and, oh, there was one really bad one actually. Liz Stiles, who actually still has a scar on her nose, was one day that the flight that I take with Defying Gravity, the, mm-hmm, cherry picker, mm-hmm, the levitator, it didn't go. And so I had to then sing the song on the ground, and which is, you know, not great.
No, yeah.
And then it goes blackout, right?
Yeah.
And then everyone around you knows their traffic and it's completely black.
Yeah.
And so I said to Liz, I said, I don't know where I'm going because it's pitch black and I don't want to run into anyone. She said,
and usually, oh, you're up in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
everyone,
okay, gotcha,
clears and, you know, the lights come up by that point and let me down. So it's, you know, I'm out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she said, I'll grab you. And I said, okay. And so I then am waiting in the dark, pitch black. And all of a sudden I feel this hand grab me. And as she grabs me, I move the broomstick into her nose and totally cut her nose open,
yeah,
underneath. And so she had to go off that night. She couldn't do that show. I felt so bad. And she still has a scar.
Great story though.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, after playing 8 or 9 or 10 years of the kind of the same character on and off,
yeah,
you would think something bad's got to go wrong.
Well, that's it. That's it. It can't be all smooth sailing.
On to the makeup, because we're sitting here in your dressing room in the Capitol Theatre.
Yeah.
Everything's great. I mean, all the brushes are stained green.
Look at the size of this. I wish this was visual as well. Let's just say, everybody, for all the people listening, it is a giant paintbrush that is the size of my head.
Bigger than a fry, like bigger than a...
Yeah, fry pan.
No, what's the thing called that you scoop and eat? Like a frying pan tool. What are they called?
Utensil?
Like a spatula.
Spatula.
Spatula. It's like you would flip eggs with or something. I still don't even think it's called a spatula. But that's bigger than that. It's,
yeah,
ginormous.
Yeah.
So actually, back on Japan, I flew to Japan last year,
yeah,
for an interview. I had to interview Guardians of the Galaxy cast and Zoe Saldana. I don't know if you're up with your superhero movies. She is Gamora in,
yeah,
Guardians of the Galaxy,
she's,
and she's all green.
All green.
All green.
Yeah.
And she told me that she was the first one in every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, call time was 6 a.m. She'd be there at 3.
Uh-huh.
And they had a couple special tricks, though. So her different parts of her body would be painted on, but then some of it was stocking.
Yes.
And because it's like a movie, they've got budget. It's bougie,
yeah,
stocking. It's,
yeah,
not like from, you know, Kmart.
Yeah.
and then different parts. So, like, a sleeve, for example, had a triangle cut out on her like forearm, so they knew exactly where to paint green.
Yeah.
Everything else is just normal skin color for her, because washing it off was a punish.
Oh, yes.
What's it like for you? How many hours does it take a day to get all this ready?
Yeah, well, this one's difficult because she wore prosthetics too as well, right?
Some of
she
the has, forehead and cheeks,
yeah,
is prosthetics.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. She's quite a similar green to what I am as well. Did she say that? Did she use MAC makeup? Did she say what brand it was?
I don't remember. No,
yeah.
I can't remember.
So it is a MAC. For me, it's a MAC makeup.
Okay.
So it's look, it's not like I'm putting paint on my face. So it's quite okay for,
yeah,
the skin. But it's more the fact that I have to do it 8 at the moment. We're in Sydney, 9 times a week. And that's the thing that's quite hard, because you're stripping off all your natural oils,
yeah,
of your skin. You're not really meant to be washing yourself that much. So it's a balancing act. But with this, I'm actually Miss Gulch. If you remember from the film, do you remember the old lady? Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I actually have to play her first.
Yeah.
And then I literally run after I finish that scene into, yeah, this dressing room, and I have to get green in 10 minutes.
Because your normal skin color, I've seen the time-lapse video on your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Your skin color, normal.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, boom, green, 10 minutes,
oh
done.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then to get it off, I have to use a oil. I use a a makeup oil remover and lather it all up and wipe it all off with a wet face cloth.
So do you do it at the end? Because I haven't, I'm seeing it not this weekend, next weekend.
Awesome.
But I forget his name, but he's been doing the Wizard of Oz Instagram takeover this week.
John?
And
is it John?
The or scarecrow.
Eli. Eli. Eli, yes. How good is his stuff?
His stuff has been the Mean Girls like video. Like, he has two funny purses and a silver Lexus.
I can't believe it. But I just literally said to him, I said, you're making us all look like fools.
Yeah.
Because you've just stepped it up to such a crazy level of awesomeness. Yeah. Like, we all look ridiculous now
he's
when we do the takeovers.
Films and stuff.
I know. And like, I want to know even how he like does the time lapse, but then he can then choose moments to slow down. See, I've got no idea. How do you do that?
Yeah, I don't. Oh, that's, I don't know. You need a video editing degree with that. That's beyond me.
Anyway, it's been amazing.
Yes. But so he showed that he starts as, it's like the movie, everyone in
Kansas.
The dream. Yeah, everyone at the start of the movie, everyone in the dream is from her real life in the start of the movie.
Yes, exactly.
Same as the show.
Yeah.
So he starts normal, then gets scarecrowed, and then he did a time-lapse video of him taking off all the makeup to become normal again.
Yeah, which is super fast.
Yes.
It's like minute.
Do you have the same thing or
no? No, so okay. I stay, that would actually be impossible for
me. Right, that's what
so
I was thinking.
So I stay green. So once I've melted, then I then just chill out. That's the time where I actually get to rest because I'm actually busy throughout the whole show. But then once I've obviously died, I get to relax. And then I bow as the witch and then I then get degreened.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So how much of you is green? Because as well the song you were saying Red Shoes Blues. Your legs are green. So is that stockings or are you painting everything?
Green stockings.
Okay.
Yeah. And I actually wear gloves with this. Wicked, I didn't. I actually had to paint my hands green. I'd have to paint my fingernails green, every week. Whereas this, I actually get to wear gloves, which is fantastic. So you just pop them on and you're done. So it's face, neck, chest, ears. But that's pretty much it. So that's good.
Do you go through, because Zoe Saldana was telling me, there's green everywhere. Oh, you just find it everywhere, in your ears.
Oh,
you'll have
in
a shower,
ears.
Get out of the shower and look in the mirror and be like, I have a green tinge to me. Has that happened to you?
Absolutely. And then because I'm doing so many shows a week, you then start to not care.
Yeah. Yes. Cause because you're like, I've got to do this again tomorrow.
Exactly.
Twice.
Yeah. So I kind of just like, it's so funny because some people at stage door come up to me and they go, you've still got a bit of green. I'm like, yeah, don't care. Doesn't matter. Yeah. It's thank fine. You, but all good.
Now you are a superstar, like we talk about, but you've done all these professional shows for years. You've performed for the Dalai Lama. Is that?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Please just quickly tell me.
So we're doing Wicked in Perth. And it was his 80th birthday celebration. And so he was doing a big talk for, in a massive stadium. Right.
So he was just there for his, that happened to be that it was his birthday when he
was
there.
Okay. Yeah. And they came up with the idea. They didn't actually tell him about it. So it was going to be a surprise. And I don't know who the person was that thought about it, but obviously they'd seen Wicked and knew that the lyrics to Fall Good are very, very wise and beautiful and such, musically also well written, and thought that it would be a great moment for him because obviously he loves music as well. And so, but for me, like I meditate and, I follow him on all the social media things and I love him. And so, and then I got to watch him talk. So before we performed, so I sat there second row from the front watching the Dalai Lama just taking people's questions and, all these words of wisdom. And the funniest thing was he opened with talking about that he never gets nervous.
Right.
And he said the reason is because we're all the same. There's no difference in us at all. And so what is there to actually be nervous about?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was so nervous. Got on stage and I kept saying to myself, he just said we're all the same.
Yeah.
He just said that, but I'm like, but it's the Dalai Lama and my legs are shaking. Yeah. I was so crazy. And when someone actually filmed it and I watched it back and you can hear in my voice, I'm like, it will maybe. Like I just couldn't believe that I was in front of someone that I just respect so much.
Yeah.
And he gave me a hug.
Did you get a photo with him?
I did.
Oh my God, that's so
cool. I did. So that was one of the best experiences ever.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, so you've done that.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're probably at the point now where you don't have to audition for things. For this, no, am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay.
This was the only audition, only show I haven't ever had to audition for.
Okay.
But everything else and still continuing on after my after this?
Yeah, yeah.
Auditions.
So that's what I was going to say. Did they call you up?
They did, yes. Yeah.
And were you like straight away, yes? Or who did they ask first, you or Lucy? Do you know?
Yeah, I think they asked Lucy first and then – because I'm from Melbourne, Lucy's from Sydney, so right. it was easier for her to just pop in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think, yeah, because what happened was then when I went into the meeting with John Frost and they showed me clips of everything because they wanted me to see that it was a bit different and that right. I had a song and it's not just the straight Wizard of Oz just from the film. And then when we'd finished the meeting, John said, he goes, oh, and you can call Lucy if you want. And so as soon as I got out of the office, I called Lucy and I was like, are you going to do it? And she's like, all the stuff looked really good about it. I said, I know. And she's like, well, you're going to do it. I want to work with you again. I was like, I want to work with you again. Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. That is so great.
So yeah. So the only thing that was a concern for me was just having to be green. But other than that,
yeah.
But other than that, I was, you know, when I did Ghost, it was so refreshing because it was like I could just finish the show and just chuck on my clothes and leave.
Yep, put your hair up, gone.
That's it. I was done. Whereas this, it takes a good half an hour to get it all off. So it's just that process.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really wanted the opportunity and yeah, to work with Lucy again is just so wonderful. So yeah, very, very exciting.
That's so exciting. And I've spoken to a couple people in Aladdin and they were like, they love At Stage Door, kids dressed up, little girls as Jasmine, little boys as Aladdin. I can imagine here there's probably like a lot of Dorothys.
Yeah. I did have a witch the other day.
Oh my God. Okay, great. This is my question. Tell me everything.
Yeah.
I feel like as a kid, I would have been like, I'm going as the Wicked Witch of the West, Mum. And she'd be like, are you sure? Yes, paint me green, bitch. Get it out.
That's it. So there's definitely a lot of Dorothys. That's, yeah. But even adults as Dorothys as well.
Oh, really? See, yeah. I feel like that's, is that weird? Like Rocky Horror, people gone dress up.
Yeah, they do. They do. But in look, actually, I can't diss it because when they do it, they don't do it as like Dorothy. So they don't have pigtails and things like that.
Okay.
But they'll do it with like this, you know, what do you call a checkered? It's not checkered, but it's, what's that word?
Not paisley. Paisley's swirls.
It'll come. Anyway, it's a...
checkered. Houndstooth.
No. There's a name for it.
But like the blue and white checks that Dorothy has.
Yeah. Anyway, it'll come
to us when we're done. Yeah. Let's go and check it.
But they put on, like, it's almost like it's retro. So they'll have a red lip, which will match the red shoes that they've got.
Yeah. Okay, I got you. So, like, they're teaming with the theme, but they're not Dorothy in a pigtails and a pinafore.
As an adult. Exactly.
Gotcha.
So they make it work.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I actually kind of dig it.
So, yeah. So have people come as you, adults or kids?
Mainly kids, mm-hmm. but still not as many as the Dorothys, that's for sure.
Do they see you and die? Yeah,
they do. Some of them are scared. Some of them are like, they actually go, you were my favorite. And I was like, oh, you're a sicko like me. Because I used to love all the villains when I was a kid too, like Catwoman. Oh, my God. I was obsessed with Catwoman.
Halle Berry Catwoman?
No, Michelle Pfeiffer, Catwoman.
Oh,
yeah.
She even did Catwoman, of course.
How could you forget that performance?
I know. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah. With the red lip.
Yeah, yeah. That changed my life. Back to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tim Burton, when he
did
that
one. Is that a Tim
Burton
movie?
Yeah, that one. Batman Returns, I think that's the one.
Batman's
Starring Catwoman. Yeah. So when kids say that to me, I go, oh, yeah, I used to be like you. I used to love all the darker characters. But I tell you what, the thing that gets me the most is when you're performing and certain things happen and you hear the kids laughing in the audience. And that is something you never tire of because it's the cutest thing. There's one line that Lucy says and it's so random, but she goes, oh, poo. And that's it. Every single day, the kids are like, ah, she said poo.
Yeah.
Like, it is. And I have to try to not laugh because it's so cute.
Oh, that would be.
Gingham. That's it. There you go. I knew
you
it would
got
come.
It. It came. Thank God it came now instead of in an hour. And I want to talk about as well your album.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Because Josh, who we spoke about before, his album's coming out. Josh Peterman, who's in Beautiful at the moment. And your solo album, Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Love it. Yeah. Came out last year. Is the pop star thing something that you would want to do? Not like Katy Perry level pop star, but like...
Yeah, like make it into, like on the, being
be
on the
performer.
Radio.
Songs on the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing concerts.
Well, I think this is what the whole reason for me doing the album was the fact that I actually had tried to get a couple of record deals, mm-hmm. and they didn't know where to put me because of that fact that I'm musical theatre and,
yeah.
you know, and so I am in this kind of tricky genre. I'm 33 years old now. I'm not 21. So that's different as well. And so all of that kind of came into play. And so I just really wanted myself to have something that I've got forever. Whereas musical theatre, it's like you do a show, it's done.
Done.
Whereas I wanted to really have something that I can go, when I was younger, this is how I used to sing. And so I invested in myself. Yeah. So I did it all myself. It's all independent.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So all my own funding. And the best thing about that, though, is you get to choose the songs you want.
Yeah.
How, you get to do it your way. Who you work with, yeah. The style musically and the artwork and everything. So everything to do with it was all me, which was so rewarding and so satisfying because if you go with a record label, you don't have that control at all.
No.
So I think that even though, you know, it'd be nice to have not invested all that money into it, I think that the end product to me is well worth it. And I did some concerts and I actually made that money back. So, you know, I won.
Yeah. Did you like give, because my like thing is if I had an album, I would be like gifting it to people at Christmas, birthdays. Did you have a copy of my album yet? I'll sign it for you. Did you give it away as gifts?
Yeah, heaps. Heaps of people. I sent it to so many people. I posted so many CDs because I was so proud of it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, and people, you know, they want to hear it. So they're happy that you're getting a free little CD.
Do you listen to yourself sometimes?
I haven't for ages. There was when we did the mastering, mixing, then the mastering and all that. And then after it was sort of released, I did listen to it a few more times, but I actually haven't, since I've been in the show, I haven't listened to it, but.
You should pop it on your iPhone and like listen to it on the way to work.
No. But I might do it in the break and maybe I'll have a little listen again and have a smile on my face going, oh, well, remember that time I did that?
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I'm really proud of it.
And really quickly, speed round questions. You've obviously played like two iconic roles, but do you have like a dream role that you would die to play?
Yes.
Who?
Jenna in Waitress.
Have you seen it yet?
I've seen a bootleg. naughty.
Okay.
Because I'm insane. A massive fan of Sarah Bareilles. I'm obsessed
with that soundtrack.
I'm obsessed. I listen to it still all the time. I never tire of it. I think that it is. I love the film actually before it was a musical. Like I loved the film and thought it was such a quirky indie kind of thing. And I just think the music is just fantastic. And yeah, that would be absolutely amazing.
I reckon that should come here.
I think so. I think it would do well.
I think it would do well, yeah.
You know, it's Sarah Bareilles.
Like, yeah.
Who's currently playing it on Broadway with Jason Mraz.
Insane.
I can't.
I know.
It's too much.
Let's fly to New York. Do you want to go to New York?
I wanted to. I looked at it and I was like, oh no, I'm going to be working. I can't. But I honestly, if I didn't have this show, I would have gone.
Are they only doing like a short season
something
together?
Something like 3 weeks and that's annoying. It. Yeah.
Okay, great. That's my favorite answer anyone's ever given. Because most people say like, I've played it or something that hasn't been written yet. I'm like, that's not a real answer.
No.
Your favorite answer.
Okay, good.
And if someone that's listening to this, they're maybe, I don't know, 16, they're going to Brent Street every day, dancing, singing. What advice would you have for someone that wants to be in your position 5-10 years? What would you say to them?
Oh gosh.
To get into the industry and succeed.
Well, I think there's so many things you could say. But I think for me and my life is the fact that I didn't do it the way that everybody else has done it.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is that if there's someone that has a whole nother life happening where they're working in a job in the office or, you know, they're a beauty therapist or whatever.
Baker's Delight.
Yeah, that's it. I actually did work at Baker's Delight when I came back from university.
Oh my God, yum.
I loved it. It's dangerous though. No.
Keep going.
But I think that it's – that fact is – you are all unique and we all have things that are going to put us forward in different ways.
Yeah.
And so it's not that we need to always be doing what everybody else is doing. It just has to be true to you. And so just because you didn't study or just because something didn't work out, it doesn't mean that that's the end of the road. And also another little tip for people is that even when people look at the bigger picture of, oh, Gemma gets all this stuff, like Gemma's working heaps, I still audition heaps and I still get heaps of no's.
Yeah.
People don't know that part though.
Yeah.
And so when they get no's, they're like, oh, well, I must be doing the wrong thing, or, you know, it might get them down. Whereas like actually people that are very, very successful get no's just as much. It's just that you see the highs, you see the yeses.
Yeah.
You don't actually see personally the no's, but they happen and they're never to make you stop. It's just that you learn from it, whether you just know that you're just not right for it because you might be just too tall, which is something you can't change, or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Wrong hair color.
Yeah.
Like, but you're going to put a wig on me. Sorry, you still have the wrong hair color.
That's right.
It's like, all right.
That's right.
That happens though.
Yeah. So yeah. So I think that don't be afraid of your path because everyone's is different. And it doesn't mean that, you know, if you get a no, it doesn't mean no forever. And just to keep sort of moving forward and learning, always learn. And even for me, another thing that I found, like I did the same thing. I played the same character for so many years, but I decided to be conscious to never arrive, which I think is life. You never arrive. You always need to grow. You always need to learn. So even though I was saying the same lines every day and you know, all the direction was still the same.
Yeah.
I still tried to find new things within that world. And that keeps you growing and keeps you developing. And I think that that's something that performers need to know too. It's just because you might get your first job, it doesn't mean you've made it. You always still have to work really, really hard and always find growth in your performance.
I love it. Gemma, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Get tickets if you can. It just closed in Sydney, but it's going to Adelaide. It's going to Melbourne. Get all the tickets. Go and see it a bunch of times. And make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast. We've got a new episode coming real soon. Thanks for listening.